In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Please be seated. The vigil of Christmas is impregnated with holy cheerfulness, a laudable expectation. And if it were not for the vestments of penance and fasting, one could easily think that the feast has already begun. The church joyfully awaits the twofold coming of her Redeemer, who saves his people from their sins, and who is the shepherd of Israel, that is, the church, of whom all are members if they believe in and follow Jesus Christ. As Isaiah the prophet foretold, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And St. Paul adds that he has been chosen to be the apostle of the gospel for obedience to the faith in all nations for his name. And by way of this morning's Mass, we prepare for the anniversary of the birthday of our blessed Lord and Redeemer, Jesus Christ, the God-man, the only begotten Son of God, the Son of David, whom the spouse of Joseph brought into the world, and who was born as man, according to the seed of David, has by his resurrection proved, beyond all question, that he is God. However, before such a glorious event, before the condescension of Christ, before his birth, there was first the conception, which our gospel, in its brevity, poignantly highlights for us in just one verse. As the gospel from St. Matthew reads, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, for all men present this morning, I want you to imagine the circumstances of such an occurrence. Sometimes I think, because we have heard this verse so many times throughout our lives, that we may have the tendency to overlook the severities of the situation that Joseph and Mary were in, that we simply gloss over such a verse because, well, our salvation hangs upon its implication. It is an undeniable truth of the church that Mary conceived by the Holy Ghost. But nonetheless, for Joseph, in the eyes of the rest of the world around him, it was indeed a situation rich with scandal. Guys, imagine, just imagine, the woman that you are about to marry, whom you are betrothed to. Imagine discovering before your marriage that she was pregnant, knowing full well that you were not the father. What would you do? What would any man do, even if he were a just man? Think of the scandal, the array of emotions that must have burned within Joseph's heart. Feelings of shame, betrayal, hurt must have abounded in him. Joseph was well within his right to divorce Mary, or worse, have her stoned. Imagine if he had elected for her death. Jesus would have been the savior of humanity that was never realized, a broken promise of salvation by God. We would not be here this morning. There would be no church, no lives of the saints, no life eternal. Life would merely pass on, and for all intents and purposes, with no meaning to it. Conversely, think if Joseph had divorced her quietly. Christ would be born, but Christ would not have a biological father in the eyes of his people. The eyes of the world would look upon him as a bastard. There would be no legitimacy to his words. And he and his mother would be outcasts in every city and in every place they traveled. Likewise, there would be no church, no Christmas carols to be sung, no semblance of Christmas anywhere. But praise God for Joseph's faith. Praise God that Joseph heeded the words of the angel through a dream, those words which said, "Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary for thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And here, my friends, is what I believe to be a miracle in and of itself. Joseph's great faith. The miracle of Christmas, saved by a dream. A situation wrought with sheer scandal would now become the most glorious and profound event in human history. From sheer scandal to sovereign glory. But let us not forget Mary here. For today, we laud her faith, her piety, and yes, her unparalleled bravery as well. For it was Mary, who first said yes. It was Mary who consented, and Mary who trusted in God, in his plan. Mary who knew that with God nothing shall be impossible. When she said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." What an image of love. What an image of perfect symmetry between marriage and faith. It's an image of how it should be. To let nothing come between them, Mary and Joseph, and in all things believe in God and each other. And I tell you, yes, both had to have a great deal of love and faith for one another, and not just God, in order to accomplish such a feat. And today, as we prepare for the nativity of our blessed Lord in just a few hours from now, I hope you all from now until then spend some time contemplating the wonderful image of marriage that we have been given by way of Mary and Joseph. For when two people are joined together by the bonds of faith and love, God can accomplish truly astounding things. Nothing is insurmountable. And because of this, every Christian marriage is blessed to mirror the symmetry of love and faith which Mary and Joseph, who have, by grace, gifted to the rest of the world on that day, the day of days, when our Lord and God, Jesus Christ, adorned himself in our flesh to save us from our sins and to resurrect a perishing world by the bonds of love. May Christ be praised. May Christ be glorified. Oh, the wonder and splendor of it all, to have a God love us so, to teach us the sanctity of marriage in such a way, through his blessed incarnation. To God be the glory, this day and every day, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.